This morning I'm going to be teaching by the grace of God on what I've titled, Grateful for His Mercies. Now, I'm sure that you know that the last portion of the year is often used by many organizations to reflect in the course of the year. I'm referring specifically to the last part of the financial year, specifically the last month of the financial year. Most companies will stop spending and focus on doing just one thing. And the thing is to reflect in the through the course of the year and to glean from what has happened. So it is also in lives of individuals. Many people often at the end of the year reflect over the year and make a judgment. The judgment is usually one or two. We usually go one or two ways. It usually sometimes would bring praise or rebuke. It sometimes will bring approval or disapproval. For some people, it brings sadness. For others, it brings laughter, depending on whatever you have done in the course of the year or whatever you have assessed. Whatever you come up with regarding your assessment for that year. I'm not sure whatever you came up with reflecting in this year, today being the last Sunday of the year. But if we were to ask the Holy Book, the Bible, what we're supposed to be doing now, it will tell us just one thing. And that will be, my friend, give thanks. That's going to be the position of the Bible, not just specifically because it's the last part of the year. Every single time that you will reflect on God's word, he will tell you, giving thanks. In January, giving thanks. In July, giving thanks. In December, giving thanks. Now, this beautiful passage we have read this morning, which I'm so glad that you're part of, reading together. I didn't just want us to go through the motion of reading it. I actually wanted something to sink into our heart. By the way, as I said, I was going to ask you two things about that particular chapter. And the first question is the commonest phrase. What do you find out to be the commonest phrase? His mercies endure forever. Praise God for that. That was great. 50%. Now, the second aspect of the question, how many times do you think it appeared in that chapter? 26. Excellent. Excellent. Excellent students. 100%, it appeared 26 times in that chapter. Interestingly, the chapter actually has 26 verses. The chapter actually tells us not just that we should give thanks, but it also tells us why we need to give thanks. But it tells us why we need to give thanks, and it states it at two levels. Now, it's going to take a discerning mind to see the two levels that has been stated in this passage, but we're just going to go through it briefly because it actually applies unto us today. There is what I refer to as the apparent reasons why we need to give thanks, and there is a deeper reason, which I call the real reason why we have to give thanks. The apparent reasons are absolutely good enough for us to give thanks. They are things that you actually see, that you are able to actually appreciate without digging deep. But the real reason why we need to give thanks actually needs to be, you need to do a little digging to actually see it. But it's clearly stated in that passage that we have read. Now, this passage, like I said, that particular phrase, which says the mercies of the Lord or the for his mercy endures forever, is a common phrase in the Bible. In fact, it was a common phraseology for them in their time and day. It's almost similar to, our own phrase, no worries. You hear that a lot, no worries. Even though we worry a lot, but we keep saying no worries, That seems to be like what this was for them, His mercy endures forever. So it's not just only in chapter 136 that we've read. You find it in other passages in the Bible. You find it, for instance, in chapter 118, said a lot of times. You find it in chapter 107 of the book of Psalms. You find it in chapter 106 of the book of Psalms. And you go outside Psalm, you see it also, for instance, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you find that phrase, for his mercy endures forever. The word translation mercy in some translation is actually given as his loving kindness. Now, those are two English words, but because the word that is translated mercy is so rich, they have to translate it, use two English words to translate it. And that still does not capture, you know, the very essence of that word. Now, like I said, it tells us three basic reasons why we need to give thanks, and we're just going to breeze through them quickly. Why should we give thanks at any point in time, especially at this time of the year, the last Sunday of the year? Why should we give thanks? The Bible says in verse number 4 through to verse number 9, it talks about we need to give thanks because God is good as shown and as demonstrated in creation. In creation. For instance, it says, to whom alone does great wonders, to whom by wisdom made the heavens, to him who laid out the earth, to him who made great lights, the sun to rule by day, the moon and the stars to rule by night. So the Lord is saying here, you need to give thanks for creation, for the moon, for the stars, for the light, for the earth, for the heaven, because all of these things are made just for you. But creation actually is bringing something that was not in existence before. So what the Bible is saying here is that you need to give thanks to God for bringing about something that was never in existence into your life. So by extension, it's not just talking about the fact that you need to bless the Lord for the sun that rises. That's a good reason to bless him, for the moon that appears in the sky, the stars. But over and above that, he's talking about creation, the bringing about of something that was not in existence before. And many of you will attest to the fact that in the year that we're just going to conclude in the next less than 48 hours, that God has brought out something into your life in this year. God has created, for some people, new jobs, for some people, new relationships. It was not in existence before. It came about this year. For some people, new opportunities. Some people bought new cars, new houses, got a new job, like I said. I mean, these are new things. They were actually created, as it were, by God. And to that extent, the Lord expects us to give thanks. So why do we give thanks? We give thanks because God is good, how as shown or as demonstrated in creation. But just not only that, why should we give thanks? It goes ahead to say we need to give thanks not just for what he has done in creation, but also for what he has done with regards to combat and conquest. And that's what is stated between chapter verse number 10 and verse number 22. You will see stated in there, verse number 10, for instance, he said, who struck Egypt in their firstborn and brought out, verse 11, and brought out Israel from among them. For his mercy endures forever, with a strong hand and with an outstretched hand, and it keeps going. It's talking about the combat that were engaged in and the victories that were that was got for Israel by God. And to that extent, the Lord expects us to give thanks. The first aspect talks about creation, something that God brought out of nothing just for you, just for you. The second aspect talks about something that God had to take out of your way, just for you. So it's not just in creation. It's also, you need to give thanks with regards to combat and conquest. Some of us, in the course of this year, we have experienced some combat, but the Lord has brought victories across our way. For instance, some of us passed exams. Somebody say, oh, well, Pastor, is that really a kind of a warfare? Or was that really a battle? You need to have asked the people that failed the exam. They will have told you that it was a battle. Some of us, for instance, were able to face health challenges and we came through them all. Why? Because God is good and his mercy endures forever. Some of us had marital problems, major challenge in our marriage. But the Lord brought us through. Why? Because he was the one that engaged with our enemy in the combat and make sure that we were victorious. So some of us, for instance, will have lost children. And when I say lost children, I'm not talking about physical death. I'm talking about emotional detachment from the family. But the Lord, by the reason of his combat and conquest, makes sure that they are still attached to us. We're still able to minister to them. We're still able to influence their lives positively. Some of us were involved in some very difficult family conflicts, not just in the nuclear sense, but even in the extended family. And the Lord brought us through. That's part of the combat and the conquest that we experienced this year. Some of us were actually involved in some very difficult work politics. You know, never underestimate what takes place at work. But the Lord was able to fight our battles, brought us not just to battle, but actually attained and achieved victory for us. So this particular chapter is not just talking about giving thanks to God with reference to creation, the way we have explained it. It's also talking about giving thanks to God with respect to combats and conquests that we have experienced in the course of this year. And you don't need to think too far to be able to pinpoint one or two examples in your life. What the Spirit of the Lord is telling us this year is you need to give thanks. You need to give thanks for the victories that you have experienced this year in these areas and the other areas that I have not mentioned because of the brevity of our time. So it's talking about giving thanks to the Lord with respect to his creation, giving thanks to the Lord with respect to combat and conquest. But that's not all. Because when you get to verse number 23, it begins to talk about a different kind of a thing. And it's talking about giving thanks to the Lord because he cares for you. Look at what it says in verse 23. Who remembered us in our lowly state, for his mercy endures forever. Verse 24 says, and rescue us from our enemies, for his mercy endures forever. Who gives food to all flesh, for his mercy endures forever. So from verse 23 up to verse 25, it's talking about God caring for us. But the care that he's talking about here is what I refer to as nursing care. Now, nursing care is given to, the picture is that of a person who is already kind of wounded, and the Lord is nursing the person back to life. Somebody that has suffered some kind of loss, and God is nursing the person back to life. The picture, the closest to it is what we find in 1 Samuel chapter number 30. We may not have to turn there. Now, I will just give you this story. Now, David and his army, they went to the Philistines to want to support the Philistines to fight against Israel. I'm sure that's kind of ridiculous to some of us, but there is a background to it which we're not going to go into. So David was not, and his armies went to this battle, and the Philistines said, oh, no, you're not going to help us in this battle, because they recognized that David was part of actually the people that defeated Goliath in the earlier times. So they said, no, you're not going to help us in this battle, because they were not sure that when they would get into battle, whether David was going to turn against the Philistines. So they said, no, don't bother to help us. But by the time David would come back to where he was, where he had camped his families and the families of his fighters and his soldiers, they've already taken away their people. They've taken away their wives, their children, everything that belonged to them. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And then David was so discouraged. As a matter of fact, the people were so discouraged that they felt like, as it were, coming against David. The Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. He inquired of the Lord, what should I do? And the Lord said, you should pursue the enemies, the Amalekites. They were the ones that actually raided the place where David and his people were, where they were lodging. Now, so eventually they pursued them. But along the line, and this is the where I'm going, they found a person on the way. This person was actually left by the Amalekites, the people that came to invade the camp of David and his men, and they left a particular person because this person became sick and weak. This person happened to be an Egyptian, so the Amalekites left him for dead. So for 3 days, this guy had no food, no water. So David came across him and his men, and what did they do? The Bible says they gave him food, they gave him water, they nursed him back such that he regained his strength, and he was actually the one that pointed the direction to where the Amalekites had gone for David and his men to go and invade them. Now, the point is this. This Egyptian was left for dead, was, as it were, very weak at the time he was found. And that actually creates a kind of a picture of what the experience of some of us was in 2019. I'm using the past tense now because we are almost crossing over. Now, some of us, we have actually suffered some kind of wound injuries in the past. But the Lord was good in taking care of us, in nursing us back onto life. And that's why he says you need to give him thanks. Not just because of the creation, the things he brought about that was not there in the first instance. Not just for his combat and conquest, fighting for your battles, but the fact that he has helped you to recover from some losses and some injuries you had incurred in times past. For instance, some of us have suffered some setbacks, some shame, some humiliation, which was as a result of the things that we have lost in the past. You know, money, reputation, relationship that we have lost in the past. And in the last months, over the last 12 months, God has been able to care for us. So that's the sense of care that he's talking about here, the nursing care, the care that you give to somebody who has suffered some loss and some injuries. And that's why it specifically says in verse 25, who gives food to all flesh, gives us food, gives us water, nurses us back to life. So these reasons are good enough reasons for us to begin to give him thanks, to give him praise, you know. But I'm sure that there will be some people here who will say, for instance, well, look, if those were the three reasons why God says I should give him thanks, I don't think I qualify to give him thanks. Because, number one, in terms of creation, nothing was created. No jobs, no new relationship, nothing. Okay? In terms of combat and conquest, no battle was won. I didn't conquer anything. In fact, I was conquered throughout, so there was no reason to give him thanks. Somebody would say, are you talking about care? I feel very much abandoned throughout the course of the year. You know, that was the way I felt. You know, I was abandoned at home, abandoned at work, abandoned in my spiritual life and walk with him. So on that basis, I don't think I qualify to give him thanks. Now, that's simply because you have not completely explored the reason why you need to give him thanks, as explained to us in this particular chapter. As a matter of fact, the crux of the matter, why God says you should give him thanks, has actually not been, you have not touched it at all. Why these are good and legitimate reasons why we need to give him thanks, they are supposed to be offshoot of the main reason why we should give him thanks. And I'm sure you are asking, so what else? I've looked into that passage. There is really nothing else to give him thanks for. I need you to take a second look. Now, for what am I going to be giving him thanks, especially if I've been disappointed in terms of nothing created, no combats, no battles won, and in terms of the fact that I did not experience any care? Look at what it says again in chapter 136, verse 1. Let's start with verse 1. It says this: Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercies endures forever. Did you notice that he didn't talk about anything that has been done in that particular verse? No. Verse 2. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Did you also notice that he didn't actually link that place with anything that has been done? Verse 3. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. Did you also notice that he didn't talk about anything that he has done? The truth of the matter is every other thing that will follow from verse 4 to verse 25 were supposed to be the apparent reasons to give him thanks. And like I said, they are legitimate reasons to give him thanks. But the crux of the matter, the real reason why God wants him to, why God thinks and believes that you should give him thanks, is actually what he stated in the first three verses and by extension, entire chapter. 26 times it tells us the reason why we need to give him thanks, and many of the times we miss it. Do you know the real reason why the Lord wants or believes that we should give him thanks? Because his mercy endures forever. All the other things, the combat, the conquest, the care, the creation, were actually supposed to be an offshoot of the realization of the position of his mercy in your life. Why should I give him thanks? especially as we close 2019. Simple, because you are a recipient of his mercy. So it's not primarily because of the creation. It's not primarily because of the combats and conquests. It's not primarily because of his care, even though those are legitimate reasons. It's primarily because of his character. And what character are we talking about? He is a merciful God. You have been a recipient of his mercy. Like I said, the word mercy is often translated loving kindness. It's like the people that are going to translate Israel, oh, well, this is kindness. So all that people say, no, this is actually love. And so they came, okay, why don't we put it together? It's loving kindness. Because it's such a very rich character of God that not a single English word is able to actually capture every part of the essence of the word. His mercy endures forever. That's the reason, people of God, why you and I should give him thanks. Primarily, because we are recipients of his mercy. Mercy talks about the compassion or the kindness that is shown to a person who does not deserve it. It's a kindness or a compassion that is shown to a person who does not deserve it. And so, by the reason of it being received, the person is able to escape the punishment that is supposed to come as a result of what has been done or left undone. That's mercy. The mercy of God talks about the compassion or the kindness of God given to a person who does not deserve it, such that he or she does not get the punishment that he deserves. That's the essence of our giving him thanks. Primarily, because we are recipients of his mercy. Now, think about it. If we had been punished for every act of disobedience that we engage in 2019, if we had been punished for every act of slothfulness, every act of stubbornness, every act of coldness to spiritual things, to spirituality. If we have been getting what we actually deserve by the reason of all of this, then we wouldn't be here. As a matter of fact, Lamentation put it in a very beautiful way. I want you to turn to Lamentation chapter number 3. Lamentation is in the Old Testament, just a little bit after the book of Jeremiah. It's actually the Lamentation of Jeremiah. So I will give you a little bit of time to look for that. Because I'm also looking for it. All right. So Lamentation chapter number 3. And I will read from verse number 21. Verse number 20. It says, "My soul still remembers and sings within me. These I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope." A little bit of background. Israel at this time was under a very terrible situation. They were under oppression of some sort. And so Jeremiah, writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit here, says in verse number 22, he says, "In spite of all of these things that we have experienced, in spite of all of these things that, that we have been afflicted with," verse 22 says, "through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassion fails not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Through the Lord's mercy, we are not consumed. Translation: if not for the mercy of the Lord, you and I would have been consumed. Somebody says, so what does that mean? To be consumed means to be destroyed. Now, the picture is that of a house that is burning, and when the fire gets on the wood, it destroys it. It destroys it beyond usefulness, such that that wood is not going to be useful henceforth. So to be consumed means to be destroyed beyond usefulness. It means to be dead, destroyed, to be devoid of hope, or to be damaged beyond usefulness. That's what the Bible is saying here. That it is by the Lord's mercy that we have not been dead by now. It is by the Lord's mercy that we have not been destroyed by now. It is by the Lord's mercy that you and I have not come to a place where we are devoid of hope. it is by the Lord's mercy that we have not come to a place where we have been damaged beyond usefulness. It's by the Lord's mercy. And so that's primarily the reason why we need to give him thanks. And that forms the bedrock, the foundation for every other thing. So what he's saying in essence is, you don't need to wait until you experience some creation in your life. Creation of jobs, creation of good home, families, good business. You don't need to wait for that, because that's actually an offshoot. That's actually a product of a deeper thing. You don't need to have experienced combat and conquest in the course of the year before you give him thanks. You don't even need to have experienced the care of God, because our experience is predicated on how much we're able to interpret the things that take place around us. Those things could have taken place and you probably would not pick it up, because it has not come to the point where the gray and white matter in your brain is able to interpret it correctly. But the primary reason why we need to give him thanks, which is always going to be relevant at every point in time, whether in the valley of our life or at the mountaintop, is because of his mercy, because it's by that mercy that we have not been consumed. It's by that mercy that we have not been dead. It's by that mercy that we have not come to a point where we are devoid of hope. Somebody will say, well, but you know, I don't have a lot of hope now, you know. In fact, I have a very tiny one. If you have a strand of hope just hanging in there, it's by the Lord's mercy. And I want to say by extension, if you have lost anything at all in the course of the year, anything valuable, anything important, maybe you have even lost a lot, God's mercy is the reason why you have not lost everything. God's mercy is the reason why you have not lost all of it. That you have enough sense to even be able to think and rationalize about the fact that you actually need to complain is enough reason to give thanks to him. You know why? Because not everyone is equipped with that mental capacity to be able to process events, even though in this instance you are processing it incorrectly. But it's by the Lord's mercy. It's by the Lord's mercy. The story was told about a woman that came to Napoleon several years ago. Napoleon actually lived in the 19th century. He was an emperor during the French Revolution. And so this woman came to, and he was a powerful man, you know, by the reason of battles won and stuff like that. So he came to this man. This woman came to the emperor, and he said he has come to actually approach the emperor because our son has been taken by the state, and they were going to actually kill him for the offense he had committed. So the mother approached Napoleon, is seeking for pardon for her son. The emperor replied that the young man, you know, this young man had actually committed a certain offense, and he has actually committed it twice. And so justice demanded death for this young man. The mother of this young man replied, no, but I don't ask for justice. I am pleading for mercy. I'm not asking you about what justice says. I'm saying that, you know, just have mercy. Napoleon replied, but your son does not, don't you get it, does not deserve mercy. This son of yours does not deserve mercy at all. The woman replied, he said, sir, it would not be mercy if he deserved it. And mercy is all that I ask for. The emperor said, okay, I will have mercy. And he eventually released the boy. Now, the point I'm bringing out is this. If we deserve it, then it's no longer mercy. The reason why we still call it mercy is because we don't deserve to have it. And it is that mercy that has protected us from death, destruction, from being devoid of hope, and from being damaged to the point of not being useful. That's the mercy of God that has protected us to that. So we still have some element, no matter how small, of some hope for the future because of his mercy. Now, you may be sitting here and saying, you know, Pastor, I want to tell you something very important. And this is the fact that, you know, in the course of this year, you may say you have not experienced any of God's goodness. You have not experienced any of God's goodness, for instance, in creation. He has not brought us any new thing in your life over the last 12 months. I would doubt that very much. But I don't have enough evidence to counter your claim. I don't have enough hard evidence to say, well, that did not happen, even though I would doubt it, because I know that's not his nature. You may come here and say, you know, I have not experienced God's goodness in the area of, you know, combat and conquest. No battles have been won. In fact, I've lost all the battles. I would doubt that very much as well. But because I don't have any evidence, it's going to be difficult for me to counter your claim. You may come here this morning and say, look, Pastor, God has not cared for me in any way. In fact, he has neglected me completely. I've not experienced a modicum of his care. I would doubt that very much. But because I don't have any hard evidence, it will be difficult for me to actually counter your claim. But there is one thing that you, if you were to come here this morning and tell me that you have not received, I would have a very strong opposition to that, and that's his mercy. If you were to come here today and say, you know, Pastor, I've not experienced God's mercy, not a single bit of it, I would say, no, that's not true. That's not possible. And you ask me why. Because I have a evidence that you have experienced and obtained his mercy. Why? Because it's by his mercy that you have not been consumed. If you were not to have had and received his mercy, you wouldn't be here. You were not consumed, meaning you were not dead. At least you are still able to talk to me and ask questions. You are not damaged beyond usefulness, and that's why you have come to church. You are not damaged, and you're not devoid of hope. You have not been destroyed, and that's why I will have a very strong opposition to the fact that you have not obtained his mercy. People of God, I'm just saying this. For any of us that think that we have lost anything, like I said, God is the reason why we have not lost all. And if there is any reason why I want us to take out of this very important chapter of the scripture, is that our thanksgiving ought to continue because we are receivers of God's goodness. We are receivers of God's goodness. We are receivers of his mercy. His mercy is what is making us not to have the punishment that we deserve and preserving us for a greater tomorrow in him. So this morning, I'm going to be leading you, people of God, to just sing a song of praise and thanksgiving to God. Why? Because you are recipients. You and I, we are all receivers, as it were, of his mercy. Because it's by his mercy that we have not been consumed. And as we do that, this is what is going to happen. Because we have given thanks to God on the basis of his mercy, this is what is going to happen, especially as we transit into the new year. That is going to form the bedrock, the root of the things that we're going to be experiencing God in terms of his creation. God will begin to create things for us, things that have never existed in our lives before. God will begin to bring about combat and fight our battle and conquest, giving us victory in the things that we are hoping to achieve victory in. And more importantly also, God is going to begin to experience his care, his loving care, in that he's going to begin to nurse us back to life in the areas we have suffered any injury, heartache, or any troubles, both physically, spiritually, and of course, by extension, emotionally. Why? Because his mercy endures forever. I will conclude by reading the passage we started with, and I will just read the last verse. And that's Psalm 136. And I will read the last verse. Verse 26 says, "Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever." Shall we rise up upon our feet, please?